When I was a little kid, it was really important to me to have a job. That baffles me now, but that's the way it was. Here's the story of my second job. By the seventh grade, Paul had quit his paper route for a job at Slattery's Pharmacy, located in an old stone building right on the southwest corner of 99th and Vincennes, across the street from St. Margaret's Church. He worked the cash register, washed the windows, and cleaned up. But I remember him chiefly in his role as soda jerk, a job that flashed into and out of existence, perhaps between the 1930s and the 1950s. One might think of the soda jerk as the model for today's coffee shop barista. My memory of the time looks like a Norman Rockwell painting of a soda fountain. I am perched on a high stool and leaning over the marble counter. Paul stands behind the counter in command of all the gleaming hardware. I ordered a zombie, a concoction of our own devising, in which Paul pumped Coke syrup into the glass, along with a shot of the syrup for the Green River and a shot of all the other syrups. All that sugary liquid in the resulting drink, half syrup and half soda water, sent me buzzing after slurping it down. Eventually, I worked for Slattery too, though I can't recall how I got the job. I helped clean the store and, using my trusty Schwinn bike, delivered prescriptions. The bike was outfitted with a big wire basket positioned over the front wheel, an arrangement that hinted at trouble. It led to a mishap, since every bump telegraphed the shock directly to the basket. One day, as I set out with the package firmly in the basket, it bounced about some as I pedaled along, but generally stayed put until I hit a bump. The bump transmitted the shock cleanly to the taut wire basket, and the taut wire basket catapulted that bottle up and out in an arc like it was shot from a cannon. The bottle crashed to the sidewalk and, much to my horror, began to ooze its sticky red contents. Abashed at the incident, I returned to the store and reported it to Mr. Slattery. I concluded that the incident greatly upset him. His voice sounded irritated, and his face wore a frown. It turned out that he was required to report the loss of narcotics. It turned out that the oozy contents were turpentine and codeine, a familiar remedy in those days, a preparation since banned in the U.S. Little did I know that I once served as a cog in the drug trade. My employment survived the incident, and once a week, Mr. Slattery sent me to pick up supplies from another pharmacy some distance away. I had become a courier and flushed with pride at the responsibility. It was beyond my biking range, so I took the bus. As any traveling businessman might do, after picking up the required package, I stopped for lunch. A dime store lunch counter provided me with my favorite meal, a mustard and piccalilli-covered hot dog washed down with a glass of Green River soda. While working for Slattery, the incident that springs most to mind came from a more prosaic activity, namely throwing out the garbage. One of my tasks was to take the wastebasket downstairs to the basement and fling the contents into the furnace. This task appealed to me. It hinted at danger. It involved opening the iron door and drawing closer to the flames that roared inside. On the day that stands out, I heaved a whole basket full of trash into the furnace, unaware that concealed among the contents was an aerosol can. Surprise! The resulting explosion sent burning fragments flying back out. I think Paul and Mr. Slattery came rushing downstairs. They remedied the situation quickly by shoveling the burning debris back into the furnace. With no injury or lasting damage as a result, the incident yielded enough excitement to paint it into memory. It amazes me how much these memories please me. I was so proud of that boyhood job and can still feel the glow. I wasn't just anybody. I was employed. I was a delivery boy at Slattery's Pharmacy. Perhaps this feeling of pride shows how much a job contributes to shaping us to feelings of worth and identity. If this is so, what a scary prospect for one who retires or loses a job. Do we need a new view of what makes a person worth something? Perhaps it is to be found in these lines of Mary Oliver's poem about the wild geese. One line goes, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." She continues, "Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things."